Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, Executive Director of SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañon, Director of Public Relations and Government Affairs.
Hi.
Hi, Marta. Today, we have a special guest, Judy Bonilla. She's Director of Education for Advocates for Aging. She's also a gerontologist, an advocate, a consultant, and an author. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Martha.
We're so thrilled to have you join us here, Judy, because of your expertise in so many older adult topics. It's just remarkable. I know you have programs where you do brain fitness, and you even have a dating after 65 program.
Absolutely. And I love that you know that.
Yeah, you know what? And I love the title, Come Back Cupid.
Absolutely.
Like, when did Cupid leave?
Absolutely. And if he has, then you want to invite them back.
Right. Exactly. And you also are the author of Freewheeling After 60, a book on transportation for older adults.
It is. And again, thank you for acknowledging my work with the field of aging. It's such an important topic. And unless, like you caregivers know, unless you're in the middle of it, people often don't think about it.
Right.
It's someone else.
Right. Absolutely. And today we're really excited again, as I was mentioning, that you're here because we want to talk about transportation and some of the challenges of transportation for individuals, older adults with disabilities, as well as the family caregivers. Martha, I think in our organization, we get quite a bit of calls or some of our clients are requesting information about transportation.
Actually, at least half of our clients are calling to request information on transportation. So obviously, this is an issue that affects a lot of our caregivers.
Yes. And I know, I mean, I've heard stories of caregivers who, you know, they are dealing with an aging parent with maybe memory loss, or and they're starting to have those issues related to transportation or their ability to drive. And even though they know they have a condition that they shouldn't be driving, they're still reluctant to want to push that individual lose their license or not drive anymore, because that means, guess who's on call? The caregiver.
Absolutely, Roberta. And there's so much to unpack. So I'm going to start with my philosophy.
Yes.
And the first is each of us, whatever our age, is to really embrace self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because we've been in this caregiving space, we were just talking about Rosalind Carter's quote about the types of people in the world. And she basically frames it, all of us are either caregivers or will be caregivers in the future,
or we'll need caregiving.
It's just where we are on that spectrum. But what no one ever tells us is that sometimes we repeat the role.
Right.
So we might start off caregiving for, I'll say, a pet. We all love our pets,
yes.
And so we do the best for them that we can. And then we might caregive for a parent. And then it might be for a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might be for a friend.
Yeah.
But the idea is, no one ever told us we should prepare for this. So I'm telling you, prepare. And that's why you want to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Judy. I think one of the biggest challenges related to transportation, and you being the author on a book related to transportation, has been the limited resources, the cost of setting up transportation, and the coordination of the transportation.
When I talk to, if I can jump in here, Judy,
when I have
my classes on caregiving, and I have one specifically on driving and dementia, which is doesn't mean that you can drive and have dementia, but just the topic, and we explore the options that are available.
Yes.
But sometimes cost is prohibiting for a caregiver.
And that is the truth. So again, you know, you want to take an upstream view of transportation wherever you are at. So if you have an individual in your family member, someone who you're caregiving for who has dementia, the things that you want to do now is to make sure they are compliant to their their medication regime, which all it does is modify the symptoms, maintain the symptoms. But that gives you a little window of room, as opposed to somebody who is not adherent. Again, those medications will not change the outcome, but it will, I'll say, manage the symptoms. So that's one thing that you can do upstream. The other thing is, we talk about staying active. Whether you have dementia or not, there are still things that you can do to stay active. And the reason why you want to do that is that makes it easier to maneuver in and out of a car. So when you're a caregiver, you know how important it is if somebody is very stiff and rigid to get someone in and out of that car. However, if they're doing a sit and be fit class, or maybe you're doing some stretching, those, again, you have the management in place so that maybe the symptoms are being ameliorated. You might have the fitness in place so that they physically can get in and out of the car. And the other thing is, when you get that diagnosis, you know, I wish we had in our healthcare system a wraparound service that would tell you, be prepared for these things. We don't.
Right. And I know that, Martha, in your classes, you kind of teach signs of what to look for.
Yes.
Like little dings on cars, you know, blind sides, areas where people start to have problems where there's signs that they maybe shouldn't be driving anymore.
We do. And I remember a couple of times in some of my classes, as we're saying them, caregivers realizing, oh, wow, the signs are right there. He keeps hitting the same post.
Absolutely.
All, each and every time. And I keep saying, Dad, don't do that. Pay attention. So that was, I remember, a key sign for a caregiver. It was kind of an awakening for him to realize that that's what was
happening. And I'm glad you gave that specific example, because I'm a verbivore. Vocabulary is very important to me.
A verbivore. That's cool.
Not an omnivore. I'm a verbivore. And where I would phrase that, you might say, you know, Dad, I noticed the car, you know, I'm having some issues too backing up. Let's take a class, because what we know is the amount of loving coaching that we give our family members is often ineffective because most of us as adults don't want to be told what we know to do.
Oh, sure.
And so using that, I was that simple tweaks and saying, you know, I'm thinking about taking a class. Let's take a class together. Or I read an article or I saw on TV, so that you start the conversation, not as I'm correcting you, but that we're doing this together.
Yeah. And that's important, that togetherness. I know I've heard from caregivers who say, I cannot take away the license or hide the license or the keys from my dad, let's say. It's, he will just tell me, I've been driving longer than you have.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you to do this to me?
Driving is independence.
Yes.
I mean, we've learned to drive when we're teenagers. Yes. And we get our license, most of us, when we're teenagers. And then we do not stop driving until something happens, you know?
Absolutely.
And so that is a kind of independence and freedom, and it's part of our culture. Right. So it's really, I would imagine, very devastating for someone to be told, it's unsafe. You should not be driving.
And that's how we frame it. Mm-hmm. It's really, and to caregivers out there who are saying, but how do I do this? How do I, you know, prevent the hitting of the post or the accidents? It's all about safety.
Absolutely.
It is about safety. We have a responsibility as community members to take care of one another, but also to take care of the person that we are caring for. So it is under the framework of safety. We don't want them to be hurt. We don't want them to hurt anyone.
Right.
And where, again, where this is fascinating is that is us reasoning as adults, not reasoning with someone who has dementia, who is judgment impaired.
Yes.
Right.
So first, let me get some things out that I want to make sure we touch on. One, just because someone with dementia can physically drive doesn't mean that they're actually driving. So much of that is muscle memory. Mm. And the reason that I'll say example I want to give you is how many of us have gone to work and thought, how did I get here?
Yeah, I didn't even remember crossing the bridge.
Because you know yes. the road. It is so, and so when somebody is still driving, oh, they've got a little bit of dementia. What's missing is the judgment.
Right.
The awareness of space.
And reaction
the
time.
The reaction time.
Yes.
But for me, it's that judgment. They may not connect that there is a crosswalk and there is a, I call them lollipop, the lollipop people, when children are crossing at a...
Oh, yes.
The crossing guards.
The crossing guards.
Yeah.
So lollipop and crossing guards, whichever you choose. A great visual anyway, but they may not interpret that piece of data as... Children around must go slow, must be prepared. It might be objects with no connection. Mm-hmm. And that is why,
that's scary.
Again, if someone has dementia, there is no waiting because you don't know where they are in that judgment piece. And so, Roberta, you spoke to it, and I've been really giving it quite a bit of thought. You're right. Independence is... As Americans, that's what we're known for.
Right.
Pull up our bootstraps. We can do it. We don't need anyone. It's all about interdependence if we actually look at it.
Right.
Yes.
And so I encourage you and your work and those listening to really start shifting the narrative about what independence means. It just means being able to get where you want to go. It doesn't mean it has to be driving.
Right.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. And there are a lot of resources out in San Diego County of transportation services, but it's always a challenge. One is give up the license, that whole part of it. Give up the wanting to drive, because even though you don't have a license, you can still jump in a car yes. and drive somewhere, even, you know, because if there's no one there to stop you yes. or disable your vehicle, you're going to do this. That reminds me of a story one of a family told me that their aunt was driving their uncle. The uncle had Alzheimer's. The aunt had undiagnosed dementia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she was driving them around. And the reason it came to their attention is they lived in Point Loma. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to go to market, which she always goes. She ended up in Camp Pendleton.
Wow.
And she pulled up and they said, oh, you are way off track. And they pointed her in the right direction. Ugh. She circled back, came back to Camp Pendleton. And the guards there finally just looked at her and said, you were just here about an hour ago. And she was asking the same questions.
Wow.
So they made her pull over. They called the police. They called different places. And they were able to locate the extended family to be able to assist. But that whole... you know, that one, she didn't have a valid license, right. and she was still driving around.
Absolutely. And
how scary is that,
very
though?
Very scary.
You spoke to so much in that statement, in that storytelling, in that that is somebody, again, who no longer has a judgment to drive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're an aging population, and the one thing we do know is that dementia is associated with older age. It doesn't mean everyone's going to get dementia. It just puts us at a higher risk factor,
right.
that 85 plus. So again, when I talk about self-awareness, each of us in this room are hoping to be age 85 or older at some point in our life, sometime in the future. I don't know when. We hope. But it's doing something now, which... Again, one I want to acknowledge, there are resources here in San Diego. The thing is, you have to pull them together. And that's why I wrote the book, because I wanted to give those, I'll say, adults who perhaps had done some planning around retirement.
So how do families, Judy, pull these resources together? How do our listeners kind of make a plan so that if they find themselves in this situation, they can help their loved ones?
So I have a couple free resources. There's a DIY, and I consider this like doing your taxes yourself. The DIY way is to go to my website, Freewheeling After 60, and there's a series mm-hmm. of guides to help you to plan. And I equate that with doing your own taxes. Or, again, that's similar, no cost, you don't pay, you hope you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you hire a professional, someone like me, who does a transportation planning. But the key is, and so everyone listening, here's some tips. One, you're going to block some time each week. It might be 1 to 2 hours. Before you sit down and start planning, you're going to go to the dollar store. And you're going to get yourself one of those notebooks and a bunch of pens, some tape, and some highlighters. Because you are going to start putting together all your resources in your dollar binder.
Yeah. And that's because it's so complex. You know,
absolutely.
1 week you might have friends or family helping. 1 week you might not have anybody. Mm-hmm. And so you're calling one of the local transportation companies. You know, when families call our office and they're wanting resources for transportation, we have an extensive list of current companies out there that provide. Some of them are nonprofits. In fact, I believe most of them are. And some of them even have new contracts with programs like Lyft.
Absolutely.
Where they help coordinate that. Of course, you know, the family still has to pay for the fees and so
exactly.
forth. But they help with some of those very, you know, specific needs that families might have. I think it becomes really challenging sometimes for families when the individual that they're transporting is wheelchair bound, or they have very limited ability to lift and transfer themselves or assist with the transferring. So those challenges always come. So you have to do your homework. You have to look at what's there. You have to interview some of these different companies
right.
if you're not doing it yourself. And if you're doing it yourself, you need to learn, kind of like when you're taking care of somebody in the home, how to lift appropriately. So because you could throw out your back as well.
Absolutely. So I am going to give you one of my hacks. The first thing you do if someone is, again, speaking to that person who has limited mobility,
mm-hmm.
I'll say ideally, I'll use the word that the individual is on Medicare, because we're at this point, the assumption is it's an older adult. They're on Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
You want to check their Medicare plan and find out what the transportation benefits are.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
So you start at the beginning and you find out. And so here's the important part is that is why you cannot default. And when I say default on, well, what should my Medicare plan be? Oh, anyone. No, 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 no. You must choose a plan that actually does provide transportation. So again, don't default on what Medicare plan you selected. And again, don't default on the one you had last year, because that might have changed. So again, the first port of call is you want to check your healthcare plan.
Right.
And make sure yours actually, many will provide transportation to medical appointments.
Right.
So if they're doing the coordination, that lifts the responsibility of that for that caregiver in that instance. Because oftentimes, and when I say often, 99.9% of the time, the insurance company will allow a personal attendant. It can be a friend, mm-hmm. a companion.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's no cost. It's just tapping into that service you already have. So that frees you up. And again, you were so eloquent in talking about the need for the network of transportation. And that is basically, it's called a personal right. transportation plan, but it's a network of resources. And the lowest hanging fruit are your friends and families who love you. And you talked about this, about being, you know, giving and receiving. I always tell people, this is your chance when you need transportation to be a generous receiver
right.
of help.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think this is something for caregivers out there and even care receivers to think about is the future planning. Right now, we might not need it.
Right.
But if we are in a situation, you know, that we are not going to be able to drive, or we're not going to be able to do the things that we used to in terms of getting to places, and maybe the people that the low-hanging fruit they
right.
were talking about are no longer available, so then we do have to plan and we do have to think about.
Well, if it's family, also, what are the preferences of the family members that are available? Some family members will be great to take the individual to the grocery store, or take the individual, you know, to the doctor's office. And some will say, no, I'll just do the grocery shopping for you so you don't have to go, which is even better, right? But you also, you know, the preferences of the individuals that are helping you, that's also very important.
Absolutely. And the thing that I emphasize in my book, in fact, I actually spoke with a therapist on how to ask for help and to know that even though I literally give you a script on how to ask for help and to be mindful when someone says no, it's no for that particular situation, that particular day. So again, you have the low-hanging fruit as your family, ideally, right, or your close friends who become family.
Right.
Then you might have the neighbors, and then you might have the social, fraternal, or religious organizations that you may have been a part of over your lifetime. So again, what you want to do is look at the different levels. It's that
expand your network.
Absolutely.
Expand your network.
Well, thank you, Judy. Thank you, Martha. You know, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank both of you for, again, lending your time here and leading another stimulating discussion about caregiving and, in this particular case, specifically about transportation. I want to remind our audience that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength.
That's right.
Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. You can also follow us on Facebook for more podcasts. And I just want to remind everybody that SCRC is a nonprofit organization, and we provide services due to the generosity of our donors and community partners. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website and click on the Donate tab. And remember, SCRC is here for you,
caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.